at this point in the liturgical year, as we're drawing to a close, which will be the end of November, we gather some of these prophetic writings that are sometimes overlooked. This from Baruch, who was the secretary of Jeremiah, and probably the heart of the book is by Baruch, but there are other authors who seem to have contributed to it as well. Can you hear the voice of mourning in this? Hear, you neighbors of Zion, God has brought great mourning upon me. See? Earlier, remember Israel, you were sold to the nations, not for your destruction. It was because you angered God that you were handed over to your foes. For you provoked your Maker with sacrifices to demons, to no God. You forsook the eternal God who nourished you. And you grieved Jerusalem who fostered you. She indeed saw coming upon you the anger of God. Do you see the same rhythm right now? You see, the church, all those who are faithful to the Lord, are mourning over our sins, our superficiality, our lack of prayer, our domination by this culture, the lack of zeal. And great punishment could be coming upon us because of it. It's amazing, this rhythm, isn't it? I was reading last night the short life of the Curé of Ars. And he was born shortly after the Revolution, French Revolution. Churches were destroyed. You know, priests were imprisoned and killed. It was a mess. Why? Because the church had not been preaching the gospel. And so people degenerated. Do you see that now? Do you see that we're not preaching the gospel? The difference, in a way, though it may have been true then in the French Revolution and true here in, when Jerusalem was destroyed, now, if you look this way, you see destruction, punishment, darkness. If you look this way, you see light. You see, somebody was just talking to me last night about whole grammar schools where all the kids are in love with the Lord and praise Him and are obedient. And can you imagine? And the young priests who are being ordained, a different breed. I've told you about some of them as seminarians going out preaching on the streets, here praying over people who are getting healed. See, it depends on which way you look. Both ways are true. Both ways are real. The things that have been happening, the blindness, except for a couple of very courageous people, nobody had a problem with sort of canonizing Ted Kennedy. Pray for him, of course, my God. You know, bury him with devotion and prayer and pray for him. But the fuss made over him was part of the plan to divide the church. Don't you think many of God's little people would be confused? Here's a fellow who, after initially supporting pro-life, turned his back on it, was very, very energetically pro-death. Even introduced a bill that if anybody preached against same-sex marriages, that would be called a hate crime and they would go to jail. Now, nobody wants him or anybody else in hell. But there must be some way that we don't exalt that so that God's people are confused. It doesn't seem to make, you know, some great holy person dies and sometimes they get less pressed. You see, we have sins to atone for. And there are sins. Just don't say it's the bishops or the politicians. It's our sins. Because sanctity will change people. So we got to get to be saints. And in our era, there really is no other choice. We have to do this. What a privilege. What a privilege. This is why the Lord has done so much in our era. The whole Vatican Council, which was an enormous blessing. Still fighting over it, but what a blessing. These new movements, the homeschoolers, the school where this person was. There are great things going on. If you look this way. In the gospel, we have this moment, which I think is very revealing and very helpful to us. The disciples come back, the 72, only Luke mentions these 72, come back and they say, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They're pretty excited about that. Jesus says, look, I've given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Again, in the book of Cure of Ars. He just treated the devil with contempt. And, you know, he beat him up. And there were voices echoing in his house. All sorts of things to distract and frighten him. He just treated them with contempt. And went on. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then comes this moment when our Lord, who's been looking this way, looks this way. And he looks at these disciples who love him. They're weak, they're dumb, they're not going to be 100% for a long time yet. But he sees them. And it says he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. He rejoiced to see this work his Father taking place through these little fellows. And I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you reveal them to the childlike, the little ones. Such has been your gracious will. And then everything has been handed over to me by my Father. Everything. This whole universe. This whole plan that I've been reflecting recently. Everybody knows Obama's plan. Who knows Jesus' plan? Did you ever ask him? What's your plan, Lord? Where do I fit into it? What do you want of me? See, that would be to be childlike. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, because he's divine. And who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Wouldn't you like to be one of those? Well, then talk to him about it. Jesus, show me the Father. First he'll tell you what he told Philip. Don't you get it? You see me, you see the Father. But I know what you want. And if you will start doing what I'm telling you to do day by day, I can bring you to the place of revelation. And your heart will be so impressed that you'll never forget it. Let me show you the Father. And your heart will be so that you'll never forget it. But it really, who the Father really is, the love, the reliability. There's not a shadow of deceit in the Father. And there's nothing beyond him. This is reality. This is the apex of reality, the Father. And he's all love. Wouldn't it be nice to know that? Well, I think today's the day you can go to the Lord and say, you know, I'd like to be one of those to whom you choose to reveal the Father. I'd really like to know it. You say, okay, you're on. But it's going to take some time to get you ready. So do what I tell you to do. And then I'll get you ready. So we have on these two readings, you look this way, you see this, you look this way, you see that. They're both true.